This is VOA Sunnyside Sports. I'm Jackson Vunganyi in Washington, stepping in for the mighty Sunny Yang. We have a jam-packed show for you today. News and stories, sports headlines from around the world. Stand up! And let's start off with European soccer's governing body, UEFA, which plans to establish a pandemic relief fund of as much as $7 billion to help struggling teams manage their growing debts. Many teams in Europe and in Africa have been struggling due to the COVID-19 global pandemic. And let's go to Philadelphia, where Cameroonian NBA All-Star center Joel Embiid and the Philadelphia 76ers have agreed to a multi-year contract extension. It is reported that Embiid signed a four-year Supermax contract that will pay him $196 million. That cash windfall will keep him in the city of brotherly love through the 2026-2027 season. And let's go to the continent in East Africa, Uganda, where the Uganda Silverbacks could use some of that cash. They could use some cash. The national men's basketball team, known as the Silverbacks, are traveling to neighboring Rwanda for the FIBA Afro Basketball Championship. But their journey hasn't been easy. The trip almost didn't happen. You see, the Silverbacks had almost failed to raise the funds to facilitate their trip to Kigali. It was only after the intervention of the First Lady Janet Museveni, who is also the Sports and Education Minister, that money was raised by the local National Sports Council. But as fate would have it, as soon as the funds were handed to them in a public ceremony featuring wads of cash in a sack, the team lost the money to a creditor who had funded their previous international trip. So, how did the Silverbacks find themselves in this position days before embarking on an international tournament? Well, for that, Jonabia Kutaga, a Ugandan sports analyst and commentator who has been following this story closely, joins us via Skype from Kampala, Uganda, to break down some of the details of this rather complex and fast-evolving story.
The team that traveled today had five local best players plus officials. That's the coaches and the team managers. Then about seven, eight players will be traveling from abroad. Remember, we've got an NBA guy now, Ishmael Wainwright, center for Toronto Raptors. He was part of the qualifying campaign in Morocco and Egypt. But our hope is the summer league will be done by the time the AfroBasket starts so he can travel down. We're waiting to confirm that with the team managers on the phone with the team manager earlier on, but I think it was a network issue. We couldn't get through on the connecting flights, but we're still trying to confirm if he will be able to join the team. But we know there's a group of seven that will be coming in to complete the squad. So the team then eventually went on a loud call, every media houses, asking for publicity, you know, calling out on the government that we're just,
to bring attention. So the only way they were able to bring attention to this issue and put pressure to bear onto the government is to go around speaking to the media.
Exactly, and put the story out there so they can. And indeed, it worked because it drew a lot of attention. Different media houses picked up the story.
It went viral. There are so many memes that are coming on that I've seen on Twitter, on WhatsApp. Yeah. You know, people poking fun at the minister with his bag of cash that he handed over to the.
Exactly. Exactly. The sack of cash.
That was fake. You would think that there are more modern ways of transferring cash.
Yeah. I mean, you could have gone with a dummy check. You didn't need to actually have physical cash. But I think that they were sending a message. Like, they were telling the country that, yeah, we've been crying about the money. Here is the money. We want you to see the money so you can believe that we've actually paid them the money. Ill-advised, and everybody has complained about that. But I guess that's how it works for them that way. But, yeah, the money was given. So here's the interesting thing. As soon as they walked out of that press conference after receiving the cash, the guys they had borrowed the money from to travel to Morocco and say, guys, listen, we've been waiting. It's been 6 months. We want our money. You've been given money. We've all seen that we want our cash.
And you have money right
there. There's no way out. Exactly. So they handed the bag of money straight to the guys they had borrowed the money from. I know. The whole thing is just so hilarious. They handed the bag of money. But even then, the money that they've handed to them was about 340 million Uganda shillings, which is about $96,000. So they've still left a debt of about $4,000.
So it's short of the original money that they actually borrowed.
Exactly. It's short by $4,000.
The question is that now they have given away the money that was supposed to facilitate their travel to Kigali. what is going to happen? How did they, how were they able to secure tickets and other arrangements? Because I mean, you're going to have to eat, you're going to have, you know, hotels and all that. They have no cash.
Yeah, so responding to that, this morning, the team set off at 6 a.m. On Uganda Airlines through Nairobi to Kigali, because I think they banned direct flights from Kampala to Kigali. So they kind of have to go through Nairobi, then I think they'll board onto KQ and then get into Kigali. They've already landed, because as talking to the manager a little bit earlier this evening, they're already in Kigali, they landed safe. So what they did is, because of their good reputation with some of these corporate companies, they went to the airline and asked for tickets on credit. It's our national airline. They said, listen, we want you to trust us. We will pay this money as soon as government hands us the money. And the airline trusted them. Some of the guys could be vouched for. They were like, okay, we'll give you the tickets. You get to fly. So what's going to happen when they get to Kigali? They've got into Kigali. They need to get into hotels, get food, upkeep and all that. And what's happening now, according to the team manager, they will use their personal money, as they hope that government and you're looking at a tournament that's going to run from 24th August to 6th September. That's about 3 weeks. That's a lot of money to cater for a group of about 20 guys. I don't think any of those guys on them have that cash to look after a team for 20 days. So the hope really is the government will now respond. If they stayed in Kampala, nothing was going to happen. So I think they played their hand and said, listen, let's travel to Kigali. They will have to send money once they realize the team is in Kigali. It will be an embarrassment to the country. So somehow, the government,
especially with all the attention that has been drawn to this issue. Okay, yeah. So let's talk about the game itself, because you know Uganda did not play in the Basketball Africa League that recently concluded in Kigali, and we don't know how the skill level compares to other teams on the continent. I mean, they played Morocco and Cape Verde, so they won those two. But you know, we know there are other powerhouses. How do you think that the team will fare against some of these basketball powerhouses like Angola and Tunisia?
The real powerhouses, indeed, Angola, Tunisia, Nigeria, especially if they get the NBA guys coming down as well. We saw them struggle in the Olympics, but they've got a quality team if they manage to get those guys to come down. I don't think they will, because the turnaround between the Olympics and this tournament is quite short. And then the NBA season will be starting in October. So you highly doubt they'll get everybody down. But 2015 was the first time Uganda qualified for the AfroBasket 2015. Since then, we've made it to the tournament 3 editions in a row consecutively. We've not missed out. That speaks volumes of how much the team
the
has improved.
The level of skill, yes, yes.
Yeah. And what's helped, what's aided is that the FIBA has a regulation that in its rules allows you up to, I think, 2 naturalized players in your team. So at the beginning of the tournament, we had the bulk of the team coming at the beginning, sorry, of qualifiers in 2015. In the first time we qualified, we had the bulk of the team coming from local best players and a few foreign best players who were identified as Ugandans who are born but living in the US and were eligible. They had Ugandan passports and they were good enough. They were playing for different colleges. Off the top of my head, I remember Josh Johnson amongst one of them coming down, and they participated. They combined with the guys and then they added a bit. So the team went, we didn't do so well, but we laid a foundation. Now, since then, they've expanded their scouting network. The team managers have done a massive job looking for players abroad that can bring something to the team. That's how Ishmael Wainwright, there's a Robinson Opong, those are the 2 star men in the team. That's how these 2 guys were identified and added to the setup. So the team has improved massively. Our weakness as a team had always been our perimeter shooting. And that comes down to technique, because if you look at the grassroots, the way the game is developed, many of these players do not get to master these skills at a younger age. So when they get older, they'll do the basics. They'll drive because of their size, their height, they'll pick rebounds, they can dunk here and there. Exactly. But the perimeter shooting is short, because it maybe they're short of the technique. We've got a few who can shoot. Jimmy Enabu, the team captain, arguably our best perimeter shooter of the local best players. Now, that was a big challenge for us. But when we got into these tournaments now, with the addition of guys like Ishmael Wainwright, Robinson Opong, these guys shoot lights out, and they've added a big part that was missing from our game. So it's made us stronger, and that's why we could go to Egypt and defeat Cape Verde, defeat Morocco a second time. So it's short. Egypt is a powerhouse, and we've struggled to beat Egypt in the past as well, but it shows we were competitive against them, and we finished second in the group right behind them. So we've improved massively, majorly because of the guys they've picked up abroad.
Right. So if even with all the lack of resources and all the drama around it, Uganda does not go into this as an underdog at all.
No, no, not at all. I think we fancy our chances. I expect that we will get out of our group stage. At least we're good enough to get out of the group. At least we're good enough. We open with Senegal. That's going to be a tough one. But I believe we are good enough to actually get at least of the group stages. Eventually, we'll be lucky to make the top eight. I think that should be the target, quietly. That's probably going to be our target. If we can make the top eight, that would be a big improvement. But we should be good enough to get out at least of the group stages.
That was Ugandan sports reporter and commentator Jonah Byakutaga. And speaking of the Afro Basketball Tournament, the Rwandan government says that it is prepared and confident to host the Afro Basketball 2021 competition that is slated from 24th of August to the 5th of September of this year in the country's iconic courts of the Kigali Arena. 16 African national teams will be vying for the AfroBasket Trophy. Eugene Uwimana has more from Kigali.
Rwanda will once again play host to African basketball teams from around the continent as they compete in this year's FIFA AfroBasket Tournament. The tournament, which will be played from August the 24th to September the 5th, will bring together the continent's top talents as they stake their claim to one of Africa's fastest growing sports. Rwandan Sports Minister Aurore Mimosa Munyangaju assures the participants that all is set.
We have learned and gained much needed confidence in our expectations to host a memorable AfroBasket 2021 in these challenging times. We are going to have a great championship.
16 African national teams that have won the qualification to AfroBasket 2021 are grouped in four groups. Group A, Rwanda, DR Congo, Angola, and Cape Verde. Group B, Tunisia, the Central African Republic, which will be making its first debut, Egypt and Guinea. Group C, Nigeria, Ivory Coast, Kenya, and Mali. Group D, Senegal, Cameroon, South Africa, and Uganda. During the draw ceremony held last May, Herman Niang, the president of FIBA World, said he wishes to see fixtures of strong teams as the best talents showcase their skills in this year's tournament. He says, I would say may the best win, but for me, it may strong teams sportively confront each other on the court, so that our basketball may once again grow and grow, so that the vision to make our community becomes the first global sporting community is achieved. It is through these steps that we can get there. Coaches of African teams say are working tirelessly to make their players fit for purpose. For players, their mission is the same, to play their best as they represent their countries. He says, preparations are going well. We have been intensive physical and technical training. Where we stand now, we are ready.
All the guys are just bonding together. It's never any problems. I mean, we may shout at each other, but it's from a good place. Everything's so smooth and natural here.
Africa is going to be on the map.
The Rwandan sports minister says that young African talents will be responsible for taking African basketball to the global stage.
As we grow more and more the game of basketball on our continent, and as we look to new initiatives to groom young talents in the game, let us all strive to be role models of excellence and sportsmanship and give our young stars dreams they can look up to and be ensured they could come true.
For FIBA Africa NBL board president Anibar Manav, there is hope that young African basketballers would grow the game since this year Africans defied and coped with COVID-19 challenges which could have stopped all tournaments.
Despite these circumstances and adversities, In Africa, we played basketball. We never give up. We have established a health protocol and we play safe and secure. I would like to give a word of appreciation and gratitude for this achievement to all. To all who have been involved in this journey and for the commitment and courage assumed in the development of basketball.
On the other hand, for the Rwandan government, AfroBasket 2021 is not just about sports. It is also about marketing the country as a sports destination. This tournament will bring hundreds of international guests. While speaking about Basketball Africa League, Chief Executive Officer of Rwanda Development Board, Claire Kamanzi, said sports is the next investment arena.
We are very much investing together with the Ministry of Sports in sports development and sports tourism. And the reason for that is that sports is a very good way of bringing tourists into the country, not just the players that are coming to play, but also the fans or the staff that come to the country.
AfroBasket 2021, this two-week tournament will definitely attract many game lovers around the globe. But sports analysts say six teams, including Nigeria, Senegal, Angola, Tunisia, Egypt and Rwanda, will put the competition to another level. Ejene Uwimana, Kigali, Rwanda.
Voice of America!
This is the Sunny Side of Sports. I'm Jackson Vunganyi. Some football analysts on the continent have been reacting to the draw of the African Cup of Nations tournament held in Yaounde, Cameroon on Tuesday. 24 teams were drawn in six groups for the 33rd edition of the tournament scheduled for January 9th to February 6th, 2022. It will be held in six cities in Cameroon. David Kwalimwa is an online sports editor at Nation Media Group in Nairobi, Kenya. Kwalimwa spoke to reporter Mike Mbonyi about the AFCON draw and the chances of teams from East and Central Africa zone. He says the draw is very interesting and will produce surprise results.
Now, the draw for the 2021 Africa Cup of Nations that will be held in Cameroon in 2022 was held last evening in Yaounde, with some very interesting matchups coming out of that particular event, especially in Group A, where the hosts Cameroon, the Indomitable Lions, will face up with Cape Verde Islands and Burkina Faso alongside Ethiopia. That looks like a group of death to me, considering that the Stallions from Burkina Faso are perennial campaigners in this tournament and well known to get to the latter stages of the competition, such as the semi-finals and at some point even the final. So Cameroon and Burkina Faso will have their work cut out from the likes of Cape Verde Islands, who have also been seasoned participants in this competition. Well, the group B, which also has Senegal, Guinea and Mali, will also be an interesting to watch, especially with Zimbabwe forming part of the four-team group, as well as Morocco and Ghana in Group C, alongside Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang's Gabon making up the group C, with the Comoros, who all, of course did qualify at the expense of Kenya. In total, this is going to be a very interesting tournament. You know that each African team nowadays has its own pedigree, and there is no guaranteed result coming out of any group. Even if you look at the group involving Algeria, Ivory Coast, Equatorial Guinea and Sierra Leone, oh my, this is going to be a very interesting tournament, and I can't wait for it to get started.
Hi, this is Tatiana McFadden, 17-time Paralympic medalist, 7-time gold medalist, 17-time marathon champion, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
And still on the chatter around the Africa Cup of Nations, let's go to West Africa in Sierra Leone, where an official with the country's football association says that even though Sierra Leone has been placed in one of the toughest groups in the African Cup of Nations, he believes that the squad is ready to take the trophy given the amount of years it took for the country to qualify for the tournament. Ofaniel Gooding has more from Freetown, Sierra Leone.
After 26 years, Sierra Leone made it to the African Cup of Nations by defeating Benin Republic 1-0. The AFCON 2021 draw results have been released and Sierra Leone has been placed in one of the toughest categories, Group E, where it will face Ivory Coast, Equatorial Guinea, and the defending champion of the African Cup of Nations, Algeria. Now that the die is cast, how prepared is Sierra Leone to take on the tournament? Ibrahim Kamara is the head of public relations for the Sierra Leone Football Association, explains.
Well, first of all, it means a whole lot that we get to be mentioned as a country. We get to be mentioned, you know, amongst the 24 countries that has qualified for the African Cup of Nations. I mean, that one alone means a whole lot for the country. So now, having seen the draw, and we've been drawn in Group E alongside the defending champions, Algeria, and obviously Ivory Coast, one of the giants of Africa in terms of football, Equatorial Guinea. Obviously, this means that we have to triple, you know, the level of preparedness.
According to the head of public relations, having realized that Sierra Leone is in the same group as Algeria, which is by all accounts the best team in Africa, they will have to up their game to get ready for the African Cup of Nations.
The most immediate task, which is to ensure that we go there well represented, and also to ensure that we go through the first rounds and make it to the second round of 16.
However, despite being in one of the toughest groups in the African Cup of Nations, Sierra Leone excitement to be back in the game after 26 years and desire to prove herself seems palpable. Ophaniel Gooding reporting for VOA.
Thank you, Ophaniel Gooding in Freetown, Sierra Leone. Gooding as a lone boy. And let's go back to East Africa, in Uganda. After successfully participating in the recently concluded Olympic Games in Tokyo, where Uganda swooped the highest number of medals at an Olympic event, some commentators say that Uganda should have a deliberate investment policy in sports infrastructure. Reporter Mugume Davis Wakarinje is in Kampala, Uganda.
Uganda Olympics team won two golds, a silver and bronze medals at the Tokyo Olympics, with 5,000 and 10,000 meters world record holder Joshua Cheptegei winning a double. With four medals count, Uganda finished second in Africa on table standings. Perennial competitors, neighbors Kenya, the only African country in top 20, coming on top with 10 medals. Medalists were rewarded with brand new vehicles by Uganda's president Yoweri Kaguta Museveni. Olympics fan and politician Okerel Opiolo Amanu says the best gift the government can give to athletes is improve on sports infrastructure.
The government should deliberately erect a strategy through which it's going to harness the budding talent. There are very many Ugandans who are talented, and yet they cannot detect their own talents.
Sports analyst Clive Chaze agrees. Chaze says the country needs to target many medals, not only in athletics, but in other sports disciplines.
If you had a proper indoor sports facilities, it could be one good one, or even two or three across the region. That means you'll be able to have better players with good quality in disciplines like volleyball, in disciplines like basketball, in disciplines like netball and all the others, meaning that you will have strong quality leagues domestically, which can help you have quality players to play for the national team, and in return, be competitive at the big stage.
Innocent Ndaura is a sports editor at Daily Monitor, an English publication in Uganda.
The talent we have is raw and pure, which can be harnessed into better and honed into better products, but the infrastructure is a glaring question. It's been a $1 million question for many of the infrastructures, many of the federations, and to date, until it's solved, maybe we won't realize as much more potential as a country that we can give out there in the world.
Ugandan President Yoweri Kaguta Museveni told athletes in an event to welcome them from the Olympics that the government is committed to sports development in the country.
The Minister of Sports, you set up a network of how you can start spying, identifying those young people in the primary school, in the secondary schools.
Overall, Uganda's bagged 11 medals at the Olympics, 4 gold, 4 silver, and 3 bronze, the first one coming at the 1968 Mexico City Games. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinji, Kampala, Uganda.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
At this year's Olympic Games, Tamira Mensah-Stock became the only second woman to win gold in wrestling for the United States. VOA's Gwen Uten has a profile of her history-making performance in Tokyo. Sporty greetings to you, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Jackson. Tamira Mensah-Stock is the first Black American woman to win wrestling gold at an Olympic Games, and she had to overcome a tough draw to make history. She defeated Rio 2016 champion Sara Dasho of Japan, overpowered Zhou Feng of China, an opponent Mensah-Stock lost to twice before, and claimed victory over Ukrainian 2018 world champion Alla Cherkasova. Her final match was against Nigerian veteran Blessing Oborodudu. Mensah-Stock defeated the 10 times African champion 4-1. Following her performance, the American gold medalist described how she was able to overcome her seasoned opponents.
What I love to say is to be the best, you've got to beat the best. And so going against an Olympic gold medalist, my first round, boy, that was a lucky draw. And then the second person I wrestled, you guys might not know this, but I actually lost to Zhao twice. I had never beaten her. And so that was extremely satisfying to finally get that. And then my third match against Ukraine, she scored on me. Like, it was hellishly tough. And the fact that I was able to dominate, it just shows me, like, yeah, everybody, do you guys see this? Like, I'm doing this. I'm being me, too. Like, I'm not sacrificing who I am. And I'm still able to just go out there and, like, conquer. It's great.
Mensah-Stock was born in the U.S. state of Illinois to an African-American mother and a Ghanaian father. After moving to Texas, she took up wrestling at the urging of her twin sister, but almost quit the sport after her father was killed in a car accident on his way home from one of her high school matches. She says her father was her biggest supporter, so she continued to wrestle, eventually becoming the Women's Collegiate Nationals champion in 2014 and 2017. She traveled to the 2016 Rio Games as a training partner for her teammates, and she is now a gold medalist in her debut as an Olympian. And the 28-year-old says she's ready for her next role in life, inspiring a new generation of athletes.
Now that I'm on the stage and I am a Black woman on the Olympic stage and I have a gold medal, I want to be an inspiration to as many people as I can. And so, man, the younger generation, they're going to be so freaking fire. I'm so ecstatic for them. Like, that's all. That's mostly what I want in this world, is just to inspire as many people as I can.
And Mensah-Stock is now helping to make her mother's dream come true. She plans to use her gold medal winnings to help her mom become the proud owner of a food truck that she will name the Ladybug. Mensah-Stock is only the second American woman to win Olympic gold in wrestling. The first was Helen Maroulis in 2016. I also want to mention that Mensah-Stock's final opponent, Nigeria's Blessing Oborodudu, won silver, one of two medals for Nigeria at the Tokyo Games. She joins S.A. Brume, who won bronze in the women's long jump event. Nigeria finished eighth best among the 54 African nations at this year's Olympic Games. And that is all from me, Jackson. Back over to you.
Thank you very much, Gwen. And that wraps up this August the 19th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. For more sports news, check us out at voanews.com. We are also on all social media platforms. We are on Twitter and on Facebook. My name is Jackson Vunganyi, and that, my friends, is the Sunny Side of Sports.